From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, October 22nd. I'm Abby Larico. Missourians will vote in November on allowing sports gambling in the state. Proponents say it will increase funding for education, but that's far from certain.
It's really hard to say definitively on these revenue streams whether or not there are truly additional money for education.
A look at Amendment 2 and how those in favor are promoting it, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Missouri's no-excuse in-person absentee voting begins today. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, election officials are urging voters to take advantage of the two-week period.
Starting on October 22nd, Missourians can go to select locations in their counties to cast a ballot for any reason. St. Louis County Democratic Elections Director Eric Fay says voting early could cut down on long lines during Election Day. He says people who have voted early with an excuse so far have been surprised by how many things they're voting on this year.
We've had several people that have come to our office to vote already, and they've sat there for 20, 30 minutes trying to fill out a ballot because they're seeing it for the first time.
St. Louis and St. Louis County election officials will have no excuse in-person absentee voting locations open on Saturday, October 26th and Saturday, November 2nd. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
When St. Louis City residents go to the polls this election, they will see a ballot item asking them if they want to raise money for affordable housing through a fee on short-term rentals. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman explains Proposition S.
If voters say yes, people who stay in a short-term rental, like an Airbnb, would pay an extra 3% per night. At least half of the money would go toward building affordable housing. The remaining would go to things like eviction prevention. Fourth Ward Alderman Brett Narayan ushered the measure onto the ballot.
As we've seen a proliferation of short-term rentals, we've also seen rents and mortgage rates also climb as a result of that. So this is kind of a drop in the bucket to try and offset some of that.
Because officials currently lack an accurate count of short-term rentals operating in the city, Narayan says he cannot give an estimate of how much the fee will generate. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
You can find a list of locations for no-excuse in-person absentee voting and all of our other election coverage at stlpr.org. Missouri's Children's Division director is leaving his post at the beginning of November. Daryl Missy's retirement will take effect on November 1st. The former Jefferson County judge was in charge of leading the agency that investigates child abuse and neglect and oversees the state's foster care system. Missy encountered a number of challenges throughout his tenure, including huge abuse and neglect backlogs in the St. Louis area. He also dealt with struggles to implement drug rehabilitation programs statewide. Kayla Uliger will serve as interim Children's Division director, likely until Missouri's next governor chooses Missy's permanent successor. The James S. McDonnell Foundation has announced that it is helping to fund St. Louis's Guaranteed Basic Income program after a lawsuit put it on pause this summer. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley has more.
The McDonald Foundation announced this week that it is helping to fund the program that provides $500 monthly payments to low-income families. A judge temporarily suspended the program in July due to a lawsuit arguing it was an unconstitutional use of public dollars. Foundation officials say they worked as quickly as possible with partners to ensure they could give back payments to hundreds of participating families. Families received $1,000 a week ago to make up for the two lost months. Foundation leaders say the program has funding through December. They say they're seeking more private donors so funds can continue to be dispersed through summer 2025 as planned. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
When the puck drops for tonight's Blues game, it will be on the same TV channel as usual, but that channel will have a different name. Bally Sports has officially been rebranded as the FanDuel Sports Network. FanDuel Sports Network Midwest will air Blues games this season that aren't selected for national coverage. The channel position will not change. The name change comes as Bally's ownership group, Diamond Sports, moves through bankruptcy proceedings. ESPN reports the sports betting platform FanDuel is now the naming sponsor of all of Diamond's regional sports channels. The network home for Cardinals baseball remains uncertain. Though the team is under contract with Diamond, the financial terms have yet to be sorted. Proponents of an amendment to legalize gambling on sporting events in Missouri say the resulting tax revenue could help fund education. But as Tadeo Ruiz reports, critics say tax loopholes could mean the state's classrooms would see little benefit.
If you've turned your TV on recently, chances are you've heard this claim.
Legalizing sports betting will generate tens of millions of dollars every year for our classrooms.
That's from an advertisement for Amendment 2, a voter initiative on this year's ballot that looks to legalize sports betting in Missouri. It's being pushed by a group calling itself Winning for Missouri Education, a coalition of sports teams and gambling operators. Here's the coalition's spokesman, Jack Cardetti.
Every day, tens of thousands of Missourians are betting on sports in the state of Missouri. Now, most of them are either going to illegal offshore websites or they're going to one of our seven of our eight neighboring states and placing those bets over there. As it currently stands, Missouri's getting no benefit out of that.
The group commissioned a study from research firm Eilerson Krajicek Gaming to find out exactly how much money Missouri was missing out on. With a 10% sales tax, the study indicates Missouri could recoup $100 million in sports betting taxes over the next 5 years. But opponents of the initiative point out that the amendment's writing leads to more questions than answers. Brooke Foster is the spokesperson for Missourians Against Deceptive Gambling, an opposing coalition.
We just found that very suspect that they did not include non-supplant language.
What detractors don't want supplanted is existing education funds. In other words, if the state gets gambling revenue, but then moves an equal amount of money from the education budget to other priorities, then no extra money has gone to education. It has merely supplanted the previous money. It's a common criticism of riverboat gaming and lotto revenue, which states, including Missouri, have sold as potential windfalls for schools, only to change the funding formula later. Carrie Montsez is the Financial Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, or DESE. Montsez says that while gaming revenue has made an impact on the system's budget,
it's really hard to say definitively on these revenue streams whether or not they're truly additional money for education.
St. Louis teacher Bob Dorries says the uncertainty doesn't sit well with him.
All the folks in Jefferson City did was take the money that is collected from that, put it into the general operating budget, and then shift that money back out of education and replace it. You're just playing a shell game.
But that assumes there will be any tax revenue at all. Because the ballot says gambling operators can deduct any federal taxes, the Missouri Gaming Commission says gambling operators could deduct federal income, employment, and any other federal tax when reporting receipts. If, after all those deductions, the balance sheet appears to show negative revenues, the operator would not have to pay any taxes to the state. Eilers and Krajicek's study, which estimates $100 million in tax revenue, only took into account a federal excise tax deduction. In an email, the firm said its calculations were done using guidance from Winning for Missouri Education, the group lobbying for the referendum. Cardetti, the group's spokesman, did not respond to requests for comment regarding the lack of non-supplant language or the exclusion of other tax deductions from proponents' revenue study. Montsez with DESE says that while there's validity to both sides of the argument, it's important to keep something in mind.
I think at the very least there's a false perception that riverboat gaming and lottery were going to solve all funding issues for education.
I'm Tadeo Ruiz.
That story comes to us from member station KBIA in Columbia. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.